Hi, I'm Kate.
And I'm Lori. We've always thought that the most compelling story strikes the perfect balance between an honest look at the mess of life and the humor that can be found in the mess. To be perfectly honest, we don't really know how to live life without both the humor and the authenticity.
Our podcast might be a little bit of whiplash at times. We can spin from hard and deep to humor and laughing on a dime. The hard will be really hard, and the truths we share are the ugliest of humanity. We don't intend to make it seem like it's all fine or to pretty up the pain, but we also know that the joy we found is all the more profound because of the pain.
So we hope you can stick with us through the ugly, because there will also be joy and hope and humor. Welcome to The Ugly Truth About the Girl Next Door.
Hi, welcome back to our podcast, The Ugly Truth About the Girl Next Door. We aren't going to introduce ourselves. You already know who we are.
We seem to go back and forth.
I know. Every other episode, we're like, we're not. And then we do.
Maybe you forgot. I don't know.
I think it's different when, like, we are recording with someone else. I always feel the need to, like, we're all doing introductions. But
yeah, because we've done so much of that recording with random other people. Okay. Yeah.
Anyways. So our episode today is a continuation of my own story into my college years. And, you know, we've kind of been bouncing back and forth in our episodes between current day things that are going on regarding the chapel and things that are, you know, part of my actual it's all part of my actual story, but the details of what happened in the past. And today we want to share, we want to kind of bounce back to that part of it and go back and talk about what happened at my time at Liberty University, which I'm sure we all know has an excellent reputation.
Well, actually, so some people may not realize that.
Oh,
right.
Okay.
So in reality, Liberty University, for those of you who maybe don't realize, is a very, very large Christian university in Lynchburg, Virginia. And it has enjoyed a great deal of success in the Christian community. But in the past, literally in the past year, in the past 6 months, has been significantly discredited. Jerry Falwell Jr., who is the son of the founder, Jerry Falwell Sr., was found to be behaving very inappropriately, sexually harassing people, posting inappropriate photos. I mean, there's a ton of stuff.
Just Google it.
Yeah, Google, right, Liberty. And also, so he recently stepped down, and there is also a Title IX lawsuit currently pending against Liberty University by women who were not responded to appropriately when they came forward with sexual assault allegations. And that concern spans a very long period of time. So Liberty had enjoyed a very good reputation, but those who are now aware, that is no longer so. We will share some links on our Instagram about some of the reports about the goings on at Liberty.
Yeah. And the reason why it's important for me to share this episode is actually not because of any of that. While all of that is yeah, that makes total sense based on my own experience. The reason we want to share this episode is because a lot of the narrative that's out there right now about me is, she lied at Liberty. She almost got kicked out because she was lying at Liberty. So we are going to put that lie to bed and share the truth of what actually happened at Liberty, because it is not that.
Right. That lie is just a continuation of the spinning of the story that was used to keep people from seeing the truth about what was happening to you from the time you were very small.
Yeah.
It's no, don't look over here. She's crazy. She's this, she's that. Yep. Don't listen to a thing she says.
Yeah. It's the narrative that's been spun my whole life. All right. So all throughout high school, especially into the later years of high school. I keep forgetting this is your iPad and not my computer, and I want to use the trackpad and it's not working. Anyways.
There is a trackpad.
I know, but okay.
Nobody cares about that, okay. But anyway.
I was super living in that church me part of my brain. The abuse was still continuing, but it had slowed down a little bit, just this is gross to say, but I had kind of outgrown some of the men who paid. I was older. I wasn't a kid anymore. I wasn't what their regular customers wanted.
I know. Can we just pause there and acknowledge the horrendousness of that statement?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, they just changed who their customers were. They changed what that looked like. It was new people who maybe instead of paying for an 8-year-old, they were okay to pay for a teenager / young adult. So I lived in church me space because what else could I really do? Epic, you know, escape attempt fails. There was really no choice but to just kind of put that over here and this over there and keep going with my life. I probably blocked out a lot of it just trying to live in that space. It was just, that's just what I became, was that church me persona. I got pretty good at it too.
Well,
I'm
yes.
laughing. It's not funny. Oh my goodness. I tell a quick story before we launch into this. I have a nervous laugh. So I know that everyone keeps talking about, like, it's so weird that you guys laugh and that, you know, you're talking about these really heavy things. I have a super nervous laugh. And anybody who attended my wedding ceremony can attest to this, because throughout the entirety of my wedding ceremony, this very lovely, like, important event that most people cry at, and it's a whole thing, I laughed the entire time. Like, Patrick was like across from me, like, what is wrong with you? And like, he has no idea why I'm laughing. I don't even know why I'm laughing. It's just like a nervous habit. Like, I can't help it. I don't know what to say about it. At one point, someone said something in our wedding ceremony, and Patrick mouthed something to me, and I thought he was asking if I wanted to go eat at Chipotle. And I was like, yeah, kind of. Like, can we make that happen right now? So I'm just saying, I know it's weird, but it's also just like, this is the way that I cope. And I just don't think it's that bad of a thing. But anyway,
well, I don't think that it is. And actually, as coping strategies go, it's pretty good.
Yeah. See, so that's a professional speaking.
Because I have the letters after my name, my opinion matters more. Not really, but okay.
Okay. So anyways, when I was a junior in high school, I was pretty much told that I was going to Liberty University.
By whom?
By my family, my abusers. I don't have a lot of memories about, like, conversations about it. It wasn't like this school or that school or anything, like, we're making decisions. It just was like, just Liberty.
You, like, weren't going on campus tours. You weren't like...
I did go on a campus tour, but it had already been decided at that point.
Mm-hmm. Campus tour where?
At Liberty.
Oh, okay. But there, you weren't going no, on...
I went nowhere else. Okay. I never went to any local schools to tour them. I never ever even considered other... Like, it just... This is just where I was going. Which, to be clear, my sibling didn't go there. So it's not like, oh, this is just where our family goes to school. You know, because some families have that happening. Like, I actually don't even know. Anyway, okay. It was just Liberty. I just went to Liberty. That was just done. I didn't really fight it, I guess, because I just assumed it's 10 hours away, so that can't be a bad thing, right?
So what were you hoping for when you left?
I mean, I was hoping for a fresh start, I guess. I was hoping to not have to live so compartmentalized. I was hoping to get away from the abuse that was happening. I mean, I figured it's 10 hours away. You know, things had slowed down. So maybe this is the end. Maybe this is where I actually get free. And this is where, you know, I get to kind of attempt to escape again. It wasn't maybe as calculated of an escape attempt because, again, I didn't choose to go there. It just happened. And it was like, all right, well, it's 10 hours away. So hopefully that will be the thing, right? So I applied to Liberty. I, of course, got in. I don't actually recall applying to Liberty. Like, people talk about, like, college applications, like it's this really big, stressful thing. I really don't have any recollection of that. You have kids in college. So, like, uh-huh. Is that a hard, like, is that a
it
lot?
It is a lot. There's essays, there's application things you have to do. There's stuff that has to be done.
Yeah. So I think they did that for me because I really didn't do any of that. I did nothing. I just got in and then I was going there. They set it up as far as how it was being paid for. I have found out now there's student loans in my name that I never like signed for. I didn't know about any of that.
Should we comment on the student loan situation since that's come up?
Sure.
Why not? So at the point that the initial conversation was had with Kate's abusers, her parents, the response to that was bizarre and inappropriate. And part of the inappropriate response to that was that these student loans that Kate didn't really know existed were handed back to her thousands and thousands of dollars in arrears. Mm-hmm. And that state of affairs continued until, I don't know, a month ago, mm-hmm. after the podcast, when suddenly $8,000 was paid mm-hmm. on the student loans.
Yeah. But they didn't do it.
So. They didn't do it.
Yeah, no. And like I said, I don't remember, like I keep wanting to get the original documents of these student loans to see what the signature, I mean, I'm sure you have to sign something, yes. right? I don't even know. That's what I'm saying. I didn't do it. So I would like to see, like, is it even my signature? Likely not. Okay, so that's that. So relatives of my abusers, relatives of mine, one of them who was someone who on occasion when they were in Buffalo was someone who had hurt me in the past, also lived in Lynchburg, Virginia, which is where Liberty is. They were very, very close with the Falwell family. They attended and served at Thomas Road Baptist Church. The one of them was literally part of the foundations of Liberty, like was there when it was just like this teeny tiny little Christian college with nothing. I definitely didn't know that or realize that they were so connected or close to the school. Again, I was being told I was going there, no questions asked. I didn't know them that well. They didn't live here. They were relatives of mine, but I just didn't know them that well. And so I definitely didn't know that they were that entrenched in Liberty. Honestly, I don't even think I realized that they lived like literally in the same city.
Did they live here in Buffalo? No, right?
No, they lived in Lynchburg.
Always.
Like, always.
Your whole life, they didn't live local?
No.
So it's not like you had ongoing contact with them on a regular basis prior to Liberty?
No, definitely not. But they were very, very close and connected, as I said, with the Falwells and with Liberty and with the church that is connected to Liberty and all the things. So that's just kind of a note to keep in mind. What?
I'm pointing at something in our outline. What about that part?
Oh yeah. Just one of the people, one of these relatives, he actually played Santa Claus every year for Jerry Falwell Sr.'s kids on Christmas. So like, that's how connected they were. They were like besties. Besties. Is that a word?
I don't, probably not for men folk.
Well, Falwells maybe.
Yep.
Whew, spicy. Okay. Okay. So my first roommate when I went to Liberty was actually a girl that I was friends with here in Buffalo in high school. I was already going to Liberty, and then kind of after the fact, she was like, oh yeah, maybe I'll go to Liberty too. And so it seemed to all just kind of click together and we would be roommates.
Can I just say, and mm-hmm. this is also the person who, when the executive pastor and his wife did their own investigation, this is the person they spoke to mm-hmm. from your college years.
Yeah.
Okay. Just so keep that in mind as Kate is describing this person's role.
She was a good friend in high school. I will give her that. She was not a deep friend. I didn't share like deep emotional things with her. I didn't really share deep emotional things with hardly anybody. But she was someone that I took a lot of selfies with and we hung out a lot just because it was whatever. It was high school, you know. it seemed like It seemed like a good thing, like a familiar face to kind of start this out with. But it was also pretty nerve-wracking because she knew and believed the narrative that had been given and fed to everybody in high school that I was dramatic, I was a liar, you know. Thank goodness she just put that all to bed and is now church me. You know, that was the narrative basically. And she bought that 100%. So right off the bat, it felt like those things were following me there. Which, you know, obviously now I have to wonder if that was kind of by design, but so pretty soon after we got to Liberty, she literally just abandoned me. I mean, it was like we moved in and the next day she made new friends. She really didn't want to have anything to do with me. We did share a room for one semester, but we barely spoke. She, you know, we were living with four other girls in the suite and like the five of them just kind of, it was definitely like a girl situation that like nobody wants to be involved in. So, it was just a lot, but she just was, it was like gone. She's gone. At first I thought, well, that's fine because it's a fresh start and no one knows me and no one sees me that way. I can kind of reinvent myself and she's not going to stand in the way of me doing that. I can be whoever I want to be. But I was still super struggling. I don't know, somehow being out of home and being 10 hours away and not being in the middle of like the constant abuse, church me sort of started to crumble. It was like my compartments were breaking down a little bit because they didn't, it wasn't in like a survival mode all the time. Is that even the right way to put that?
Yeah, it absolutely is exactly the way to put that. Look at you, smart. Understanding your own internal process.
Oh my God.
It's not like you've been in therapy for a little while.
Get out of here.
Yeah.
Yeah. So church me had served me very well in high school, but it was really getting harder and harder to kind of keep that level of compartmentalizing up because it just, it was starting to break down. So that made me alone a lot of the time, which sounds kind of like boohoo, but it's just true. I really didn't make good friends at first. I was really alone and I was not very pleasant to be around. I was kind of I was just alone. So where I lived on Liberty's campus was East Campus, which was actually pretty new. To be honest, actually, like if I went to Liberty now, I don't even think I would know my way around. They've expanded so much. But so East Campus was new at the time. And the parking lot, there was not enough parking for students to park like near your dorm. And so because I was a freshman, I had to park in the parking lot they called the pit. It was basically like super far. It was basically like where they were going to expand with more East Campus dorms, but they hadn't yet. So it was like kind of on East Campus, but far away. It was not very well lit. It had kind of a paved path that led up to a dirt parking lot. And it was just terrible, just all kinds of terribleness. I got a lot of parking tickets because I kind of refused to park there for a little while. And not right at the beginning,
but eventually.
Which, so,
for the reasons that will become evident
shortly. So pretty shortly after I got to Liberty, things kind of started all over again. A man showed up outside my dorm, outside my car. He told me that he had messages for me from my abusers. Just unannounced, unexpected. Like I said, this parking lot, there's no cameras. There's no, a lot of times nobody around. It's just, from there, the abuse and the men who paid started all over again. This man became something like, the best way I can describe it is like a handler. He monitored my coming and going. He told me where to be and when. And the threats started all over again. It was very real and very intense.
So what do you mean by threats?
Oh, I mean, threats of physical harm, physical things, threats that they will, just like be here at this time, at this place, or we're going to kill you, or we're going to do worse than that. Because, there is things worse than that.
So that is not what a lot of people would think. A lot of people would think that the threat to kill someone would be the worst, but in your experience, that's not been so.
No.
So we understand that there are probably people who are listening to this, not at all questioning or judging, but really trying to wrap their head around, if you're the person with the keys to the car, why would you not just drive away and never come back? Why would you not just say, I'm not driving to that place? And I think it's important to, again, go back to the memory that this is something that Kate was brainwashed into from the time she was not even in school. And that reality of what that means when you are being tortured, sexually assaulted over and over and over in a way that makes you believe that God will not help you. No one is going to help you. In fact, the belief that God is doing this to you and that worse things like hell are potential things for you if you don't do what you're being told to do will make someone be quote unquote cooperative, but it's not really cooperation. It's being forced under duress to do things that are not the things that you want to do because you're terrified and because you're trapped. And because at this point there had been several escape attempts that Kate made that were complete failures and resulted in far more harm than anyone listening to this can imagine. So there was no shot that Kate was going to even begin to think that saying no was an option. Oh, and by the way, she had just moved 10 hours away and they were proving to her that their reach was long mm-hmm. and their memory was long.
Yeah, all of that. So it started all over again. And there was no safety net. I was completely at the mercy of my abusers. They controlled my finances. They controlled whether or not I was out. You know, I mean, there was no safety net. It was just, you know, it just started all over again. The actual abuse was intense. They knew my schedule. They knew I was alone a lot. It was really very pretty easy when I think about it now. And these were very, very dangerous people. This was not really what I experienced. And I mean, it was what I experienced in my childhood, but it was even more than that. And I felt like I had to cover it up because I always had to cover it up. I always had to make sure to hide what was happening. Like Lori said, that was a lie that was fed to me forever. And then on top of that lie was, the Liberty way. I went, you know, Liberty is a wildly conservative college with a lot of that same, kind of inadvertent, but that church message that God will be angry with you, that sin, you know, all of those trigger words, that is the Liberty way. So like believing the lies that have been fed to me forever on top of now being at this college that literally like also sustained those lies was just, I mean, I tried to juggle it all. I tried to keep going with school and do all the things. But it was just, I mean, it was horrific. There was a lot of like physical trauma. There was just a lot.
So can I comment mm-hmm. a little bit? Yeah. So, we're talking about a different kind of sex offender here, right? This is not someone necessarily who is looking for sex with a child. Most of these were people who had fetishes and who were sadistic. And that makes a big difference because we're talking about people who enjoyed inflicting pain. And then Kate was trying to just keep going to class and pretend to be a normal person. Not possible.
No. At one point, I was literally like passing out at school, like in my dorm room, in class. I was throwing up all the time. I had a lot of physical issues. I was not okay. I ended up in the emergency room a few times, just, you know, like from passing out or whatever. Another roommate, actually, as a side note, one of our other suite mates told me after I passed out one time in the dorm that she thought that I was okay. She thought I was passing out for attention. And that she wouldn't be friends with someone like that. I'm not sure who passes out on purpose. Like, is that even a thing? Do people know?
No, people don't pass out on purpose.
Like what? Okay. Anyway, I had to be sad.
Yes. That did Because again, there it is again. Nobody's going to help me.
No, not at all. I had no friends. I wasn't pleasant to be around. Like I said before, I was miserable. Church me was really struggling to keep up because the abuse was really intense. And things were really, really, really bad. I kind of feel crazy telling this part of my story because I feel like I think to myself, and I think that I wonder if people listening think that there can't really be that many stupid people in the world. Like there can't really be another institution that did it wrong, that didn't help. There can't really be roommates that were not capable of helping. Like there can't really be that many stupid people in the world.
We've actually had to have this conversation. We have it regularly of how do we explain to ourselves that reality? So I will say part of the answer is that as a society, the church, as a culture, the church is not very trauma informed. Perhaps growing in that way, we've had some very positive experiences with some churches locally that are more trauma informed and that are really eager to become increasingly trauma informed. However, this was in the early 2000s and there was less emphasis on that. But totally beyond that is the reality that Kate's abusers were selecting the environment that she was in. And so she was repeatedly put into environments very intentionally where there were people who either were, yes, actually that clueless and or they were complicit. And so I know your experience, Kate, of that was like, it's got to be me. It has to be me because there's no shot that this just keeps happening to me. And right, it just doesn't make any sense. But it does when you put it in the context of the fact that your abusers were choosing the environments you were in.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Absolutely. You're not crazy.
Are we sure on that one?
I think at this point, and remember, I have the letters after my name. Crazy is my business.
Right.
You're not crazy.
Okay. So there was an incident that happened. Again, I'm trying to balance all the things. I'm trying to balance like being at the places that they say I need to be at for as long as I need to be there, doing the things, making the people happy, going to school, trying kind of to fit in somewhere in the social circles that I maybe was a part of.
And by the way, Christian campuses, they have chapel requirements and hall meetings and Bible studies and all the things.
All the things. So I was at, a place and the abuse situation was happening and it was pretty brutal. And immediately following that, I was, supposed to go and meet someone that was part of the, you know, she was my spiritual life director. She was going to save seats. And so I was going to meet her right outside the Vine Center, which is kind of their big, I don't know, what do you call that?
I don't know. Like an auditorium?
Yeah. Bigger than that though. It was like underground. You like went into the top and then you would walk down and it like their basketball. It was like that type of
arena.
Thing. Yeah. Arena. Oh, that's okay. The word I'm looking for. It was strange though. It was like a big bubble. Look it up. It's weird.
I've seen it. It's weird.
Anyway, I went to meet her outside and I was like scratched up. I was bleeding. And she was kind of like, what in the world? Like, what is going on? It had been a super intense thing that had just happened. And so, I mean, church me was just failing. Like, just every part of me was just absolutely collapsing. I lost it. I started crying. And it was just a mess. So she called our resident director. And they went to the emergency room with me. I literally was terrified. I didn't let them do anything at the emergency room. It was like, don't touch me. Don't come near me. I knew that I wasn't allowed to be there. I definitely wasn't allowed to be there without my handler. I couldn't say anything to anybody. I knew that. I knew better. This was like such a bad idea. And yet if I didn't, you know, what will these women think that I don't want to go to the emergency room and get help? Like it was just such a stuck place, you know? Okay, so on the way to the emergency room, I called my brother, actually reached out to him just in this panic state of like, I know I can't be doing this, but I don't know what to do. And I asked him if he could go and find my mom. And at some point in all of this, my parents did actually show up at Liberty. They came down, they like brought my dog. It was like this big show of support. But I don't remember really like when they came or why they came. It was just this really weird thing.
But, so it may not have been tied up with this episode, but you just remember that they came.
Yeah, they did. Yeah. I don't really remember all the details and specifics of that. But keep in mind that these are the same people that were my abusers. So right. I'm not sure that we've
put that together established completely.
That. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So them showing up was not really helpful. Support. It was just a show of support. Like, oh, look at us. Like, we're here. We brought the dog.
But then there was stuff happening in the private moments that right. was not that.
Right. So we go to the ER. I won't let anyone touch me. I'm basically like, no, I want to sign out AMA. They did have like an advocate there that was willing to talk to me. And I was like, no, like I'm not doing this. And I left. And Lynchburg police did come to the emergency room, but they said that because I lived on campus, it was actually Liberty University had their own police department.
Mm. Your own investigation.
LUPD, it was their jurisdiction because I lived on campus. And LUPD basically said, call us in the morning. I woke up the next morning. Well, I didn't wake up. I was there the next morning.
Why do you say you didn't wake up?
Well,
because you didn't sleep.
Yeah. It was like the middle of the night. And then, yeah. And my new roommate, who was not the roommate that I went to high school with, but this new girl that I'd moved out of that room because it was just toxic, and I had moved in with this other girl, and basically she was sitting up in her bed just staring at me and was like, where were you? I'm telling the resident assistant, the RA. So, you know, she said, you're not here all the time. You come in late.
Which is not okay at Liberty.
No, yeah, there's a midnight curfew. Everybody's got to know where you are at all times, even though nobody knew where I was any of the time, so. That's interesting. But yeah, so she's all upset with me and it's like, again, I can't really explain what's happening. I'm like trying to explain that something had happened. Again, I cannot give the full story. It is once again a situation where there's an entire filing cabinet full of shit and I can't give you anything except like a paper out of this one file, because how on earth do I explain the rest of what's going on? So it's like this, okay, I was assaulted this one time on campus, and that's about all I can tell you. So that's, I think I maybe even said that to her, like, just so that was this one time. I don't even know if I told her at that point, to be honest. So I go see LUPD because I had to, and they involved the Dean of Women. I'm telling pieces of the story. It's like a one-off event, even though it's obviously much, 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 much bigger than this one-time event, but I can't, how do I say that, right? The response of LUPD and the Dean of Women is basically, we don't believe you. That's a load of garbage. Because truthfully, like, without the rest of the story, it kind of was. Like, it was, you know what I mean? Like, I wasn't lying, but again, it's like, I'm not lying, but I'm also not giving you the whole truth. And so that makes it very complicated, and it makes it impossible to tell anyone, because it doesn't make sense out of context. The one paper out of the one file doesn't make sense out of context. So I understand that, but I also, there was no way to possibly tell the whole of the filing cabinet.
Okay, I have to pause you there. Okay. Because I hear you being, you're taking ownership for the fact that they had perhaps reasons to be confused by the way you were telling it, but the information that has come out of late about Liberty and how they responded to sexual assault allegations is abundantly clear that the way they responded to you is the way they responded to really every woman that came forward.
Yeah.
No, so this was not because you, quote unquote, weren't doing it right. This is because Liberty wasn't doing it right.
Well, and I can attest to that too, and we'll get to that later. But so the response was basically, we don't believe you. And P.S., we don't believe you, but since you're saying these things, we want to remind you that the Liberty Way, the rules of the campus state that any sex before marriage is against the Liberty Way and results in 30 reps, which results in expulsion. So horrible incident happens. I come to them and say I was assaulted, sexually assaulted, and they say sex before marriage is against Liberty Way. Bye. You're going to get kicked out.
Which probably makes people scratch their head and say, wait, what? They're talking about a rape incident as sex before marriage? How can that be? But if you listen to the stuff that we post about recent disclosures about Liberty, there are many women who are now filing a lawsuit because that's exactly what Liberty said to them. Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about reps.
Let's do that. Reps, aka demerits.
Let's lighten it for a sec.
Okay.
So these are college-aged.
Oh my gosh.
Human beings. I am over the legal age. The age of majority? Is that what they call it? 18. I'm 18. And Liberty has the Liberty Way, which is basically a code of conduct for the campus, and it lists out all these different things. So reps are basically like demerits that you would get at like a private high school. There's different levels of them. Like if you, like we had to have our bedrooms clean every week, I think it was. And if you like don't empty your bathroom garbage can, it's like one rep. And so if you get to like 10 reps, then it's like a certain amount of like a financial fine that you have to pay to get those erased. And 30 reps is like automatic immediate expulsion. And there are certain things that are automatically 30 reps. That includes sex before marriage, any type of drugs or alcohol, and abortion. So any of those three things, automatically you're out the door. So that's basically what I was facing, is 30 reps.
For being raped.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The dean of women was going to call my parents, and you know, basically, I was begging her, please don't kick me out, even though because it was like, I don't know, this is worse than that, but is one really better than the other, right? Like,
And what did you think was going to happen?
Right,
if you got
I would
sent
be
home?
Unbelievably, just horrifyingly in trouble with my abusers and with my all of it. Yeah, it was just an absolute cluster. I actually remember, and I don't even think I've shared this with you. I actually remember the night before she said she was going to call my dad the next day. That night, I literally laid on my bathroom floor in my dorm room and just like I thought I was gonna die. I was so distraught. Like I was sobbing and like screaming and praying. Like I was literally praying to God. Like, I don't even, like, you can do anything to me. Just please don't let this be like what's gonna happen, because I just don't think I'm gonna make it. Yeah, it was not. It was just a whole cluster. But, So it was like, we're going to call your parents. We're going to tell them that you're going to get kicked out. You should start making plans to not be here anymore. Told my roommate, you know, I'm getting kicked out of Liberty. So it's been fun, I guess. And I did try, as she said she was going to call my parents, I did try to kind of explain more of the story to make it make sense and to be like, oh my gosh, but wait, like you can't send me home because, and it really didn't matter. It was like, well, then we'll call your dad to verify that. We'll call your parents. So the next day she calls them and suddenly I'm not getting kicked out. I'm going to stay. And she calls me and is like, we called your dad and we worked it out. You can stay. Not we worked it out. We know that what you're saying is true. Just that, like, basically he made it go away is kind of the gist of that story. Hmm. But they did say, you know, we still think you're lying. So you need to admit that you're lying to everyone. Kind of like the Christian school I went to in seventh grade. Right. And also you need to go to mandatory counseling. And the mandatory counseling looked like me going into this woman's office and her telling me, you're a liar. And the only way to
fix that
is to repent and ask for forgiveness of everybody around you, as well as God, because you're a liar and God hates liars. So once again, we're reinforcing the narrative. I was allowed to stay, like I said, but I had to tell the dean of women told my suite mates that I had lied. She told my roommate that I had lied. It was basically like middle school all over again. It was literally middle school all over again, except on a much larger scale. My roommates hated me. My roommate hated me. She was furious. Again, they made it sound like it was by choice. I was invited at one point to like a mediation with my roommate, with the Dean of Women. And basically, I got to the meeting and the Dean of Women then kicked me out of the meeting as soon as I started talking and closed the door. And then my roommate literally never spoke to me again. So that was super fun, living in stony silence with this girl who now hated me.
And you really don't even know what she said, but obviously what she said was not supportive.
No. Yeah, no. So it was just another, oh, and P.S., the abuse is still going on, right? And now I'm paying for the fact that I went to the emergency room, paying for the fact that I tried to tell someone, paying for the fact of whatever the dean of students or the dean of women said to my abusers when she called. I am now receiving the repercussions of that. Like, that's, you know. But again, it's another escape attempt that failed. And so Church Me rises to the occasion. I went back to Liberty my sophomore year. I stopped telling anyone anything about any of it. I played the part and I did my best to just kind of keep the two as extremely separate as could possibly be. So that is my story about Liberty. It's kind of a crappy one.
It is a very crappy one, but not because you are crappy, but because an awful lot of people failed you. I know, doesn't feel like that, but that's the truth.
Yeah. But the narrative now is still, well, she lied at Liberty, so you can't really trust anything she says. But for the record, that's not really what happened.
And we're still getting feedback from people that there are those in leadership positions who imply, at least obliquely, that perhaps the things that you're sharing are not the truth.
I would also like to, continue.
No, go ahead.
Well, I would also like to point out that many of those in leadership at the chapel specifically, including the counseling pastor, Dave Drake, and his son, Jonathan Drake, who's the campus pastor at the Niagara Falls campus, as well as the women's ministry director, several people in leadership at the chapel, which we have been talking about, got their degrees from Liberty. And I'm sure followed the Liberty way to the letter of the law.
Right. So they know exactly what the culture that we're talking about here.
Well, but they participated in said culture.
Which, as an aside, when my middle son was looking at colleges, we did go and visit Liberty.
Yikes.
There's a lot about the campus that it's a beautiful campus. There's like super cool things. But honestly, it had a bad mojo for us. Honestly, we were just like, I was there. It was me and my son and his younger sister. And we were all like, there is just something, I don't know, kind of not right. Like, everybody's too happy. There's something too seemingly perfect about it all. And then, oh, by the way, the idea of getting demerits for not cleaning your room as a college student and those kinds of rules made us just be like, what is that about? We're college people. That's ridiculous. So thankfully, I'm happy to say we didn't do that.
Yeah, can you imagine?
Yeah, no. That'd have been one more reason for you to think, man, why do I want to go to this woman?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No. Okay. So on that note, the next episode we will be sharing will.
Yeah, it's going to be a good one. You're going to want to listen.
Stay tuned.
Stay tuned. Yeah. We'll be cryptic. Thanks for listening.
If you or someone you know is stuck in a trafficking situation and needs help, please reach out to the National Human Trafficking Hotline by calling 1-888-373-7888 or text HELP, H-E-L-P, to 233-733.